All right, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and you're going to be looking at verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 11, and the microphone issue through Sunday school was not Joey's fault at all. It was my fault. I grabbed the wrong microphone. And come to find out, if you grab the wrong one, then when you turn the one on the board, it doesn't work right. You know, it just doesn't happen. So anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, we got it all worked out now. But Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verse 11 through 12. And we've been talking here in the book of Hebrews, been talking about these ones, these giants of faith, if you will, that the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave to these apostles and prophets and ones like that that were penning the scriptures for us. And we see here in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 11 and 12, the Bible says this: through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, but she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, immeasurable. Let's start with a word of prayer, and we will begin here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we do thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to sing praises unto you. Thank you for this faithful group of people that's able to be here today. I pray that you'd be at the ones who are not feeling well. I pray that you'd just touch their bodies and, Lord, just help them to be back with us very, very soon. But, Lord, I do pray that you'd be with us today as we, Lord, hear your word preached. I pray that each and every one of us would draw closer to you, that we would apply these truths to our lives, and just give us a great day here in your house. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, we see here that it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Joey, if you would, turn me down just a little bit. I'm getting some feedback from these up here. Just a little bit on the lapel. Thank you. But it says that she had judged him faithful who had promised. Now, what we see here in this passage is through the verses that we've already discussed in Hebrews chapter 11 is we had discussed Abel, we had discussed Enoch, we had discussed Noah, we've discussed Abraham. But now it looks at this woman, Sarah, and it starts describing to us her faith. You know, it doesn't have to be, many times we hear it mentioned as a man of God. Well, you can be a woman of God too. Each and every one of us can be a person of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or female. You can be a person of God, someone that's following the Lord. You can be a faithful person. And we see that here with Sarah. And just as we saw with all of the other ones as well, she's not a perfect person either. But yet she served a perfect God. And that's how each and every one of us are. None of us here are perfect. And if I was to ask, well, if you're perfect today, raise your hand. Well, if you were to raise your hand, that would mean that you were lying, which means you're not perfect. Amen. None of us are perfect. All of us were a few days and full of trouble. The psalmist of Israel said this: in sin did my mother conceive me. Each and every one of us are born into sin. Therefore, we have that sin nature. Now, as we look at this passage in Hebrews, something that oftentimes my mind goes to when I read this name Sarah, I don't normally think of a good thing. Often when I think of Sarah, I think of the way that she acted when she was told that she was going to bear a child. We're going to talk about that a little bit here today. But the truth is this, she is not someone that when we think of in our minds, automatically we think of some spiritual giant. And I praise the Lord for that. You say, why is that? It's because yet another proof to us that there was an imperfect person that served a perfect God that God could do great works through. And that's how each and every one of us are as well. God was able to use her despite her downfalls, despite her shortcomings. Something we have to remember is the fact that she acted the way that she did because she's a sinner just like you and I. We're all sinners. We will not always respond in the best way. And we could honestly say she did not respond in the best way. We'll read the passage in Genesis here in just a moment. But she did not respond in the right way. But praise the Lord, through this example, we can see that even though we will fail, we can get back on track. Amen? And we can continue following the Lord. So I want to preach to you a message this morning that I've entitled this, The Faith of Sarah. The Faith of Sarah. And first of all, I want to discuss with us this morning this, the failure of Sarah. She had a great failure in her life, just like many of us do. Look at Genesis chapter 18, if you will. Genesis chapter 18. I'm praying that my voice will do okay today through the sermon. If I have a couple of coughs, well, bear with me. We'll live. Amen. But Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 15. And notice what the Bible says here. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This is speaking of Abraham here. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore, as ye come to your servant, and they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, understand there, in verse 12, it says, and Sarah, notice, laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud, but yet God knew exactly what was in her heart. Remember a couple of passages there in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ was standing there, and it talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it says they thought within themselves, and Jesus answered them. Jesus didn't answer them because they said something out loud. He answered them because he knows the very intents of the heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows all of those things. And here in this passage, we see that Sarah laughed within herself. She's 90 years old, and she just heard this complete stranger outside of her tent door say, she's going to have a child. And she found that humorous. And she laughed within herself and she said, this just isn't going to be. We see here about Sarah, and oftentimes she has a negative light that was cast upon her because of the way that she acted here, because she laughed within herself. But understand, this woman was not a young woman. She was approximately 90 years old. And I've had the privilege of meeting quite a few very godly 90-year-olds. And I can guarantee you this, any of the 90-year-olds that I have met, even the most godly of godly 90-year-olds, if I went to them and said, you're going to have a child, they wouldn't laugh within themselves. They would laugh out loud. That's exactly what they would do. They would look at me like I was crazy and say, there's just no way that's going to happen. But yet, understand here, I'm not excusing the laugh of Sarah because it represented a lack of faith. But what I'm saying is this, that each and every one of us have downfalls. All of us have failures. But if the very God of heaven told us that something is going to happen, we need to understand it doesn't matter how impossible it seems in our eyes. It doesn't matter how hard it may seem it's going to be to accomplish this thing that God's calling us to do, whatever it may be. God is the God of heaven. He has everything under control. Therefore, the best thing for us to do is just follow His will rather than following our own intellectual abilities. We need to be gracious towards people. This woman, Sarah, here, she laughed. It was a failure in her life, if you will. And all of us have the exact same failures in our own lives. Your failures may be different than my failures, but we all have failures. Sarah, she had this failure here, but yet she was still counted as faithful. This woman had, understand that she had longed to have children. She wanted a child. I can only think in my very vivid imagination, if you will, think of Sarah as this young woman asking the Lord, Lord, I just want a child. I just want to be able to bear a son to my husband here. She wanted to bear a child, but yet she was barren. She wanted to bring a child into this world for her husband, but it seemed to be physically impossible. She's 90 years old, and all human logic would have told her that she would never bear a child, and she would leave this earth without ever being awarded the opportunity to be a mother. There are many women, of course, who have been exactly where this woman is. They've longed for children, yet never given that privilege. It's a very testing time. It's a challenging time. And at times, I understand it seems very hopeless. But understand this, no matter what circumstance we're in, there's a God in heaven that cares for us. He loves us and He wants to do great things through us. And there may be some things that come into our life and we say, oh, well, I know that this is what God wants me to do, but I just don't see how it's going to happen. Understand, we need to just give it over to the Lord. But our flesh wants to act exactly like Sarah did. She acted out of a lack of faith. Understand, her laugh was not because she found it humorous. Her laugh was because she did not have the faith she needed to have. Her laugh was not that she found something funny, but rather that she was saying, that could never happen. No matter what, it could never happen. Sarah laughed at the will of God, and we're going to find out throughout the rest of this message here that Sarah proved herself faithful despite her failures, and we can do the same. You know, there was one ball player. He set the major league record for strikeouts, the most times being struck out, 1,316 times. It's a lot of up to bats and a lot of strikeouts. But the same player also set a record for 5 consecutive strikeouts, 5 bats in a row during a World Series. He struck out. You would say, well, that man was a failure. 1,316 times coming up to the plate, your team expecting you to at least get on base or at least have a run batted in or something, and over 1,300 times you let them down. What a failure this man was. And then you finally get to the World Series, and all five times you go up to bat, you swing that bat, and it's a strike and a strike and a strike. Five times in a row, you struck out, not contributing to the World Series team. You say, what a failure he was. Well, that is until you hear that his name is Babe Ruth. Think about that. He's not known for striking out, is he? No, he's known as hitting some home runs. He's known as contributing. He's known as doing what he needed to do when times got tough. But guess what? He had some failures on the ball field and off the ball field. Maybe you're here and your life just hasn't panned out the way that you thought it would. Maybe you're here and it seems as though your life has just fallen off the rails. Maybe there's been times in which you've lost sight of what you once believed. Maybe it seems like your life has been characterized by failure, characterized by a lack of faith. Understand, this woman here, Sarah, she was the wife of Abraham, the man who was called the very friend of God. This is his wife. And yet, she had failures. The very wife of the friend of God laughed at the thought of God doing miraculous things in her life. But yet, when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, her name's there as being found faithful. How could that be? Because praise the Lord, if we trust Christ as our personal Savior, God never once characterizes us by our failures. He characterizes us by the faith that was placed in His Son. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, understand this, you're living a life of failures with nowhere to go but to hell for all eternity. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be saved today. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He robed himself in flesh and he lived upon this earth and he did many marvelous works, but the greatest work he did was dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for our sins. He was placed into that tomb and 3 days later rose from the grave. And he's alive forevermore and he did that for me and he did that for you. And if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, understand this, all of those things in the past, all of those sins that you've done, all of that weight that just bears down upon you, understand this, God forgives all of those things. All of our sins, past, present, and future, can be forgiven by you just trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Do that today. But maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Combs, I am saved. I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Well, if that's the case, then you're in the same boat that I'm in. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but guess what? I understand I've got some failures. I've got some blemishes, if you will. But praise the Lord that God doesn't characterize us by those things. Praise the Lord He's long-suffering toward us. Praise the Lord for His mercy and His grace towards us. Let's have faith even through our failure. So first of all, we see here the failure of Sarah. Notice second of all here, the power of Sarah's faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Notice through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, understand here what Sarah was going through here. This woman, approximately 90 years old, and it says here, through faith also Sarah received strength. Now, understand here, in Sarah's life, physically speaking, she did not have the strength to bear a child. She didn't. But it says here that through faith, she received that strength. In verse 11, we see the word strength there, and that is the Greek word that's used here is dunamis. That word dunamos, it means miraculous strength. That's where the English get the word dynamite from. It comes from that word. When we would think of dynamite, we wouldn't say that dynamite is something that is weak. No, we would say that dynamite is something that is strong, something that is powerful, something that is explosive. And that's the strength that she had here because of her faith. Through faith, also Sarah received strength. Think about this for a moment. This woman who had failures just like you and I, this woman who literally laughed at the will of God, this woman was able to have supernatural dynamic power in her life simply because her faith was in God. She did not have supernatural power in her life because of who she was married to. She did not have supernatural power in her life because that's just who her parents were or who her grandparents were or something like that. No, it says through faith. If we want to have supernatural power in our life, if we want to have that dynamic power of God flowing through our life and flowing through our home and our marriage and all of those things, we must place our faith in God and we must be living out that faith every single day, allowing the power of God to flow through our lives. Sarah had powerful faith. Just as we discussed on Wednesday night, and in order to be a biblical disciple, we must allow the power of God to flow through us. And the same is true with the faith life as well. Without the power of God, it is impossible to live a life of faith. But through the power of God, we can do the impossible. You know, we serve a God who is all powerful. He knows no limits. Whatever God wants to do, God can do that. He's powerful. Anything that we look at as a small thing, think of how small it is to God. Anything we look at as a large thing, it's the same as those small things to God. It's small. There's nothing that God cannot do. We serve a powerful God. We used to sing a song on the bus, and it was, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty." And then we'd say this, "There's nothing my God cannot do for you," is what we would say, amen? We have to yell that out as loud as we could. We had a wonderful time singing that song, and as we would sing that, understand we were instilling in those children that it's not just someone else's God. My God is so big. And of course, they'd get their muscles out, so strong and so mighty. Amen. But it's important for us to understand how strong our God is. Because in the life that we live, in our sinful flesh, you know what we needed for our sins to be forgiven? We needed a strong God. We needed a God who was going to come and love us enough to die on the cross for us. That's what we needed. We needed a God who was going to come to this earth and take all of those beatings across his back and be spat upon and have that crown of thorns placed into his head and hang there on the cross of Calvary and be doing that all for you and me. We needed a powerful God to do that. And that's who our God is. He's powerful. And that power that flows through our God is the same power that we can have if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. That power is astronomical. Think about how large our failures are. But when you put those in comparison to God's power, they're not even there because of how powerful our God is. That's the very God of heaven who could work powerfully through the life of Sarah is the same today as he was then. He's the same. He's going to be the same tomorrow as he is today. Therefore, even our failures, even through our shortcomings, even through our times of doubting laughter, if you will, God's power is there and we can live a life of faith. There's going to be times in which there's health struggles and financial problems and all of these different things that we go through, times in which we just don't understand how we're ever going to get out of this storm. And understand this, that God's power is there for us as well. And there's times in which God says, this is what I want to do with your life. In which our flesh wants to laugh at the will of God. Understand God's power is there and we can live a life of faith. Trust God to do the impossible. You know, throughout the years and especially in these days, you know, a life of faith is not looked at as strength. It's not looked at as someone that's strong is not, in this world's eyes, is not someone who's who is strong in the faith. No, it's quite the opposite in their eyes. Many times people in today's times, they see someone who is living for the Lord, outwardly living a life of faith, they see them as weak. There are people who think that the only reason someone would be religious is if they were incompetent or just need a crutch, if you will, but it's just not true. But think about it historically speaking. Historically speaking, the leaders in society were very religious people. They were ones who knew who God was. And even with the Constitution of the United States and even the Bill of Rights and ones like that, the leaders, the signers of that, many of them, before those things were ever signed into law, they met with a whole committee of Bible-preaching preachers because they knew that God's power needed to be on those things. They knew that they needed the insight of these men who were following the Lord. Because understand this, faith doesn't make a person weak. People are already weak. Faith is what makes people strong. Now, faith is in Christ. All of these politicians and ones in leadership today who mock the Lord and mock the Bible, mock religion as a whole, all of them see us as weak when in reality, they're the ones who are weak. They're the ones who do not have the power of God on their life, and they're working with limited power. Think about what someone can do with the power of God, but yet someone who refuses to yield to the Spirit of God, someone who refuses to trust Christ as their personal Savior, what are they trying to do? They're trying to go through life and make all these decisions and do all of these things. They're trying to do it with limited power. They're trying to do it with just a little bit of power when they could have the very power of God on their life and be unstoppable, if you will, with the power of God. We need to have the power of God on our lives. But we can only do that if we're living a life of faith. Seeing the Lord just work through our lives. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 3, notice the Bible says this, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Now understand what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. When he says, yea, by their power, he's talking about a gift that this church had given to him, that they had sent to him. And he says that they were willing to give of their power. But then he goes a step beyond that and he says, and beyond their power. How can someone give beyond their power when they're giving by the power of God? When they're trusting God with their gift rather than just saying, well, here's what I can afford to give. They say, God, what would you have me to give? Understanding that God is going to lead them in those things. These people were unwilling to do just what they were able to do. They wanted to serve God through the power of God. They wanted to serve God beyond their power. How many men and women are just go to church today and all they say is this, well, I'm serving the Lord, but yet they're not doing anything for God. They all they're doing is just getting a rubber stamp, if you will, on their life as a Christian. We need to be serving beyond our power, doing everything that God calls us to do. How are men and women able to serve the Lord for many years while being involved in so many different ministries? And how can they keep going for the Lord even when it seems like they give so much time and it seems like they're so busy? How can they continue to just muster up that energy? How can they do that? Not through their own power, but through the power of God. We need the power of God if we are going to serve the Lord the way that we should be serving Him. It's amazing what the Lord gives us the strength to do. But think about Sarah for a moment here. She needed some strength. She needed power from God. She's 90 years old. She's about to give birth to a child. Now, I've never given birth. Praise the Lord. It's not something that I long to do. Amen. I praise the Lord that I don't have to do that. But here's what I do know about giving birth from what I've heard. It's not easy. It's painful. And all of God's women said, amen. It's painful. It's taxing on the mother's body, no matter the age of the mother. But imagine this woman being 90 years old. And the Bible says in verse 11 that she received the strength to receive seed and deliver that child when she was past age. Notice the power that was exemplified. As we look at this power in her life, we saw back in the book of Genesis when it says that she was there by the tent door. She heard the man talking and she laughed within herself. Notice failure happens there. But then we see as you continue through her life through faith, also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Understand this, the power of God did not come with the failure. The power of God came after the failure. You know what Sarah learned through that failure? She learned that she can trust God. She learned that she doesn't have to question the will of God. She doesn't have to question whether or not God is able to do these things. That's what Sarah learned there. The power was exemplified after her failure. Remember, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've strayed from the Lord, there's a God in heaven who loves you. He cares for you. He desires to do great things in you and through you, but we must yield to Him. Understand that there's no failure in your past that's going to keep you from serving the Lord today. Don't allow the devil to say, well, you've done too much to serve the Lord. No. Understand that all of us have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not these different degrees to sin that says, well, this person here, they can never serve the Lord in any capacity because they've done these things. No. Think about the Apostle Paul. A man who literally arrested Christians and beat them and it's believed that even killed some Christians. The Lord used him to pen over 2/3 of the New Testament. If you want an example of God's power on someone's life after failure, you look at the Apostle Paul. None of us have done what the Apostle Paul has done, but God used him. We've all had failures. We've all had difficulties. We've all had those things in which we're not proud of. But understand, we cannot allow the devil to use those things to keep us in a defeated mindset. No, we're living victoriously. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, understand you've already won the battle. We're not on the losing side. It is impossible for us to lose because we're on God's side. But we must yield to Him. He cares for us. Here at the end of verse 11, we are given a secret recipe, if you will, for Sarah's faith. Now, there's an awful lot of people that have what they would consider a secret recipe. Now, people are always saying, well, if I could just have so-and-so's secret recipe, then I could make such and such. Well, the truth of the matter is this. You may have their secret recipe, but anyone who has a secret recipe, they have things that aren't on that paper, okay? They have things that are on there that are just part of just throwing this in or just throwing that in. You're not going to make what they make, amen? I say all that to say this. I love when people bring in something that's made with a secret recipe. It's good stuff. But here in verse 11, we're given the secret recipe for Sarah's faith. She's not faithful, understand this, because of her failures. She did not have power because she was married to Abraham. Just as salvation cannot be passed down through genealogies, the faith life cannot be passed down either. But understand this, she lived the faith life and had the power of God in her life because the Bible says this. You ready? Here's what the Bible says there. It says that she judged him faithful who had promised. Every single one of these ones that we've discussed through Hebrews chapter 11, it has brought their faith right back to God himself. Not one time has it pointed to their father or their mother or some priest or some preacher or some church building or something like that. Of course, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was a priest that was there. But not one time in the Bible do we see that someone has to have their faith in the priest of the Old Testament tabernacle. No, not one time. But it says here that she judged him faithful, speaking of God. She judged him faithful who had promised. That word judge, it means this, to properly distinguish. Isn't that what we're trying to get people to do when we go out and we tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're trying to get them to properly distinguish between the gods of this world and the very God of heaven. We're trying to get them to see that there is a difference there. Sarah, she had heard about God. She had seen the Lord work in Abraham's life. She had at one point had a head knowledge of the Lord, but until she placed her faith in God, she had no power to live. She had no hope of heaven. But understand this, when she understood who God was and that he is holy and that she needed to place her faith in him, she properly distinguished between the God of heaven and the false gods of that time. And just as Abel was justified by his faith and Enoch and Noah and Abraham were justified by their faith, Sarah was justified by her faith as well, because she saw that God was faithful. Throughout all of these ones that we've seen thus far, we've seen some mighty things that God performed through their life. And it was simply because of their faith. If you're here this morning and you desire the Lord to do great things through your life, understand that he can if we allow him to. It doesn't matter what failures or shortcomings you may have. You can, as the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's faithful. Be faithful to him because he's faithful to us. So notice, first of all, we saw the failure of Sarah. Then we saw the power of Sarah's faith. And then notice lastly here this morning, and we'll be done. Notice the product of Sarah's faith, the product. Look at verse 12 of our passage here in Hebrews. The Bible says this, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Here we see that she gave birth to Isaac. He was the one son that she had. But remember, God told Abraham that through him, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. It would come through Sarah. You know, I'm so thankful that God used Sarah despite her downfalls, aren't you? I'm so glad that God can use sinners like me and you despite our downfalls. He used sinners like Abraham and David and Ruth and Esther and all of these ones. They're sinners just like us, but God did great things through them. And God desires to do the great things through us as well. The product of Sarah's faith, understand this, was an everlasting product. Church, I'm not interested in doing things that just have a temporal glory, if you will. No, we need to be doing things that have eternal glory, that give an eternal product, and our faith does that, and living out our faith in this world will do that as well. The product of Sarah's faith was an everlasting product, but what will our product be? If we were to look at our faith, let me ask you this, what are we producing? Let's live a life of faith that is completely sold out to God. And when we mess up, because we will, let's confess that sin and draw closer to the Lord. Allow the Lord to do great things through our faith. I want to have a product of faith that the Lord is pleased with. I think that's all of our desire. That's why we're here today. We desire to be in the house of the Lord, to hear the Bible preached, and so that we can go out into this world and we can put into practice what we've heard in the house of God. Our faith life should be strengthened by hearing what the Bible says about faith. Therefore, we should go out and live a life searching for that eternal product, if you will. But you know what Satan's going to want us to do? He's going to try to get us to dwell on the past, isn't he? He wants us to dwell on those failures. Let's not dwell on those things. Let's focus on what's ahead. Sarah could have allowed her failures to hold her back, but that isn't what happened. We don't see that she went into some state of depression here to the point that God could not bless her, but rather we see that her name is mentioned here. She's commended for her faith simply because she judged him faithful who had promised. She saw it through. You know, I don't know everything that's in your past, but what I do know is this, that if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him today, and He will forgive you of all of those things. You can have your eternity settled in heaven today. Someone can take a Bible and show you how to be saved and understand that when you leave this place today, you're on your way to heaven. If you are saved, your sins are already forgiven. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, not only is God able to forgive us, but able to cleanse us of those sins as well. And we cannot live a life of faith. We cannot have that eternal product that Sarah had here. We cannot have that power that Sarah is having without yielding to the Spirit of God. We cannot live a life of faith if we are willingly sinning without remorse either. There's going to be sins that come in our lives each and every day, but we are to confess those sins so that we can put those things behind us and keep going for the Lord. We must yield to the Spirit of God. So how's your faith today? When we truly evaluate our faith, of course, all of us have failures. We know that God is all-powerful. So what is the product of our faith? Well, I just don't feel like my faith is yielding much eternal product. Well, it's not because of a lack of God's power. Maybe because it's a lack of us living out our faith in this world, obeying what the Bible says that we should be doing. We need to be striving for that eternal product. Let's ask the Lord to help each and every one of us to live that life of faith.